Tip Today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.
Thanks, Pat, and you're very welcome back to Tip Today. Now, we're still getting huge reaction in to all of our guests on the programme this morning. Well, I was speaking to Jim O'Shea there, who wrote the book about abuse, and Phil was on to say, that man is talking about my mother. She's nearing the end of life, but just won't be helped. So controlling, and says nasty stuff about one family member to the other. Everybody doing their best to fill her days with love and kindness, but beating heads against brick walls, and she just won't change at this point, says Phil. And there's such an amount of sadness in that particular correspondence. Somebody else saying, I attended Jim years ago as I had been in an abusive relationship. I read his book, Abuse. He made me realize what a narcissist was, and this freed me from a trend of narcissistic partners, a game changer in my life. So there you go. It's very interesting. And we will have Jim back again because he is currently attempting to write a book on loneliness, and that's something that's that we look forward to discussing with him indeed. But right now, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Muriel Cuddy of Marito 8020, of course, the clinic in Clonmel. Good morning, Muriel.
Morning, Fran. How
are you today? I nearly forgot the name of the clinic, can you believe, at this point.
It's all right. It's been a busy week.
One of those days and all of that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Loneliness, off air I was talking to Jim, this isn't what we were to talk about at all today, but off air I was talking to Jim about that, and he's writing a book. Do you come across that? And if you do, does that play into health issues?
Yeah, it's funny because I was listening outside before I came in to the end of that conversation or whatever. And I had a conversation with the GP that I'm really good friends with. He's probably about 67, really well known here in town. And the conversation literally started in relation to, I said, like, how are you, etc. He's like semi-retired. And we went on to talk about the client or patient profile of what we're seeing and the work we're doing. And it was literally like he loved doing the hands-on things of what a normal doctor or GP does every day, as in diagnosing and, you know, if you come in with whatever, if it's a skin issue, whatever it is. But the first 15 to 20 minutes, if not a half an hour, of every consultation now, if you can afford the time at all, is in relation to somebody's mental health. And that loneliness piece can be a massive piece, as in people feel lost, alone, don't know what to do, all of that. And we spoke about that two evenings ago, which is funny when I was listening to Jim talking about it today, because I'm finding that people feel lost. They literally, and like even, you know, when you're really down, people are actually finding they don't have anyone even within their close circle. So it's not even that you don't have people close to you, but they don't even feel that they can reach out to talk to people that are even within that close circle. And I don't know whether that is because you feel you're bringing other people down or whatever, but that's what I'm getting, Fran, that, you know, yeah, you can be in a busy room but be lost.
And does this result then in people not looking after their health, or maybe comfort eating or comfort drinking and all of
this? Not able to. That's the piece of nearly not able to. So like, we can look after the physical, and I had this conversation even this morning in relation to, yes, we can look after the physical side. So you can go for the walk and or go to the gym or eat well or whatever. But if you don't get the mental piece right, the other piece, it'll help to a certain extent, but you have to become, I suppose, mentally strong or get the help on the mental side if, you know, the other pieces aren't coming together for you, because that's a huge part of the puzzle, isn't it? And sometimes we can't do it on our own. You know, if you don't look for help somewhere, and it mightn't be within that close, like you can be in the busiest room in the busiest space in the place and feel
real loneliness.
Totally lost. And I remember Mammy said that to me years ago after Daddy died, even, like, we used to say to, you know, but we're visiting, we're whatever. And she used to say to us, I'm actually at my loneliness when you're with me, because I miss him so much. I'm not, like, when I'm on my own. So that's,
loneliness isn't about being alone.
No, totally. It's not. I think it's about what's happening in your head, literally. And there aren't many people to talk to today. Like, the experts that you want to talk to don't even have time, unless you actually go to a specialist place, because doctors only have 15 minutes.
But when you delve into it, like, you know, if I present myself to you and I say I have gut issues or whatever issue, you delve into it and you may well discover then, I suppose.
I do, totally.
Emotional issues.
But I'm finding it harder and harder as each day goes on. And my days, I suppose, are getting I'm finishing completely wound down, if that makes sense, because I have so much to give somebody to try and make them well, but I have to listen to their story and whatever before I can ever even delve into what I need to do to make them well. And sometimes I have to even cut across them a little, as in I'm looking at the time and I'm aware, yes, I have a full hour, but 35, 40 minutes into somebody giving you their whole emotional piece and tears and all of that, and how lonely they feel in that, and how miserable it has made them feel, as in then they've got all the other issues with it, I have to try and move the consultation on. And I feel really bad then coming to the 40 minutes in, I've only 20 minutes left. I have to move through this really quickly. And I have to say that to them. And once they get it right, then we do get to move on. That's good. And they do whatever. But
I'm inclined to say that initial half an hour with you, where they're telling you how they are, I'm sure that's hugely valuable for them.
I think so. And I hear more stories, Fran, that are completely unrelated to what I actually do as an expert. Completely unrelated. But that is a big part of why somebody's system has broken down or why they're unwell. And I have to listen to that part. Sometimes, and I'll even say, like, I'm not the expert in that area. I can give you my opinion on it. I'm not the expert. But I think the listening piece is massive. And I think that's why in the clinic, in relation to what we do, it will always be an hour. It'll never, like, I could sometimes cut it back into a half an hour or whatever. But I think it always has to be the hour, because in the world we're in today, there aren't people to listen. And I'm actually finding that piece of what Jim was talking about, the loneliness piece, I don't know why we're afraid to share more within our own inner circle, but I think people are feeling everyone is under pressure even around them. And do they want to listen? Or, you know, this thing of driving along in the car, like, and something comes into your head, how many people would you actually send the message to? And even if you do, are you upsetting their day, or is their day as bad as what your day is already and you're only adding to it? Does that make sense?
And it makes perfect sense to me. And the other thing that I think is an issue is that people don't want to show weakness or what they might perceive to be seen as being weakness.
That's another thing with the whole social media thing and everything, isn't it? Like, everything is supposed to be lovely and wonderful in your life.
And fluffy and all of that.
And I really, really, I do, I get that 150,000,000% in my world, because in my world, things look lovely. Like, you have this lovely space you're working in, you're good at your job, you know how to eat well, you know to exercise well, all of that. People are well in your background. But, like, you don't want to ever let the side down. That, like, you know, maybe things aren't great, or maybe things whatever. So you always try to put on that face, even when you don't feel great. So I get that. And in Ireland, it's a huge thing, isn't it? Like, people nearly like to see, or you feel people like to see a weakness. But I don't. I like, and even though I sometimes you think you feel somebody wants to see a weakness, the people I see in clinic, Fran, I have the loveliest people coming through, that when they sit in the chair after we make the connection and we build the relationship, this women coming through to me in 60s, 70s, 80s, and they'll actually sit, before they do anything, they're like, how are you, Muriel? You don't look great. What are you doing? Are you minding yourself? Did you book that holiday? Did you book that weekend away? So we have been able to build a relationship like the old relationship with your GP, that we actually know each other really well, that I can actually ask now, did you actually go and do that?
And you know, that relationship is so rare nowadays, because everybody's rushing around.
Well, to me, it's like, mammy is gone, daddy's gone. So the people in my world, on that level, that I would go and have a chat with, in relation to things that are in my head, are gone out of my world. So I don't have that anymore. But I have it in my room with these lovely women and men that are coming in. And, like,
I always think women of that age, God, we're gone off topic here now. Yeah. But I always think women of that age are the most remarkable. What they've been through, I mean, huge families often, you know, little money. Maybe now is their time then, when they're in their 70s and 80s.
Do you know, it's funny, there's a thing that you can do. Is it called adopt or foster an older person? So as in you can go and sit with somebody. You have to be carried a vet, all of that has to be done, but you can actually go and sit with somebody for a couple of evenings a week if they have in family or whatever. You can bring them out, you can go shopping, you can do all of that kind of thing. That's something that we've explored in our world behind the scenes. So for anyone that doesn't have somebody, isn't that wonderful? Like, even the younger generation that should be brought into to talk to older people, the amount of experience they have and how they, like, cut through the whole faff and nonsense of the things that you're overthinking and you're over worrying about, and actually put things up in front of you to say, right, okay, well, this is the way it is. Make a decision, and this is what you should be doing or whatever. So there's a whole generation there that should be listened to because of their wealth of experience or whatever. I'm really lucky because I get to listen to them in the clinic, and they literally make my world okay, even for me. So as much as I give them, I get so much back from them, you know.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah. What I'll let you pronounce that. What is it about the gut you're going to talk to us about?
We are talking about gut dysbiosis.
What
okay?
is that?
So I talk about this all the time. So this is a fancy name for it, right? And the reason I'm talking about this is we will be doing the blood sugars and all of that down the line. So it's an imbalance of good and bad microorganisms in the gut, okay? And there's a whole range of damaging symptoms. And this is what I'm dealing with every day. And I suppose why I'm talking about this is when you've an imbalanced microbiome, so that's like more bad bacteria than good bacteria, and it triggers your anti-inflammatory responses within the body, then it brings on so much earlier autoimmune illnesses. So you know what autoimmune illnesses are. Like, we've spoken here about celiac, we've spoken about IBD, but like you're also talking about like Hashimoto, like thyroid problems, you're talking about MS, you're talking about type 1 diabetes. So you're talking about so many other things that years ago we would have seen later, and we would have maybe even saying they were genetic, and maybe it was age, and maybe it was whatever. Now we're seeing them all so much earlier. And we can, gut dysbiosis, I'm seeing even coming down like into, say, teenagers and into like people in their 20s or whatever, which really frightens the life out of me, because that means their system is winding down at such an earlier age. And people are getting treated, like, say, at the earlier age, even say for skin issues like acne, eczema, psoriasis, you know, all of that kind of thing. Like, what are the other ones? The dermatitis, the dandruff, even things like that, right? And this can all be as a result of gut dysbiosis. So you think you're really unwell, but sometimes, like, it's literally something that's happening internally. And it can come from so many different things. And, you know, I've always spoken about gas and bloating and constipation, diarrhea and acid reflux and the bad breath. That's a big one lately. I have so many people presenting with bad breath. Mucus in your stool, that's another one that I'm getting the whole time lately. And, you know, we're talking about candida within. So candida within the gut or whatever, the chronic fatigue and the mental piece. There are all of these things. If you have more bad bacteria than good bacteria, all of these are going to present. But it's the other side of the autoimmune piece that I'm actually seeing that's really frightening me, because we're bringing that piece on. That's the like Hashimoto and the MS, and so it's like thyroid disease.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, and like type 1 diabetes brought on like so much earlier, like MS, your IBD that you mightn't have been forthcoming like for God knows how long. But when you break down what's actually happening within your engine, You're leaving yourself wide open to all of these so much earlier.
And is it simplistic to say this is down to all the processed foods and all the sugars and all of the...
Well, this is one of the things again. So there's a couple of things, right? And so your body composition even. So, you know, we're talking about like weight and we're talking about that all the time or whatever. But like even your body composition. So we've started doing stool samples, etc. back again because we need to do them. So your body composition can be affected by your gut microbiome. And there's two main... bacteria that we look at, like, so your firmicides are one. There's two dominant bacteria in the gut. Your firmicutes are one, and that causes, so if you have dominant firmicutes, it means that your body composition can be off, as in you absorb more from your calories, there's increased inflammation, your sleep and your waking periods can be really off or whatever, the chronic disease piece, all of that, the increased inflammation. So we're checking for that now to see what's actually happening within the gut. The other one is your bacteriides. They're dominant gut bacteria that make everything internally more positive, if that makes sense. So you're able to manage your weight more easily. Mm. You know, your sleep period is much, much better. You're able to manage the inflammation piece much, much better. So we're doing the stool sampling on that at the minute to actually see which is more dominant and can we actually get the balance back on that.
But are people reticent about doing this stool sampling?
Actually, they look at you, but they're so used to listening to me at this stage.
I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, like the men coming in, like they're talking about, they look at me and they'll go red and then they'll say, well, the gas. And it's gas because I have a lot of partners coming in. So I have a lot of people coming in together to listen that if somebody misses something, the other person gets it. And you get the red face and they look at the person beside them and then they'll say, and the gas. And whoever's beside them then will say, yeah, and they stink and they're whatever, and they'll go down along a big long burrow, and the other person then is like completely red in the face. That's all part of it. A stool sample is very simple. You do it at home. You get a little bottle and you get a little, like a little spoon thing with it, and you know, it's all very, you don't even see it or whatever. But it's important to do things like that. Like, but other things, move away from the food piece even of what can cause it, because I'm always talking about food poisoning. A really bad bout of food poisoning, it could be years ago, can really alter the gut microbiome. you know, and it could take you, if you haven't healed it, it can take you years to come back, you know, so, and you uh-huh. mightn't even realise, like, I'd say to people, like, how long is this going on? They'd say, well, I was fine up until, a person said to me the other day, actually, I was absolutely fine until I can trace it back to 2 years ago when I had a burger. And I was dying for the whole weekend after the burger. And I'm like this
and
now.
And never
since.
Fully recovered.
Never fully recovered. And everything broke down after that. That she could literally eat nothing. All the brain fog and the chronic tiredness and everything all escalated after that. And other things that really, and this is one of the big ones, I suppose, today, is in doctors don't have time. So you're handed antibiotics very yeah. quickly without maybe even getting to the root of what's happening. And like, but antibiotics don't help with viruses. They're not going to, you know, you have to have like an infection or whatever. Chronic yes. antibiotic use or overuse will definitely kill the gut microbiome, the good gut microbiome. So you need to be aware of that. Don't take them unless you really need to take them. And if you do take an antibiotic, make sure you're taking your probiotic for a good 6 months after taking it to help get the bacteria back.
What about the probiotics, Muriel? Because we're bombarded with these advertising pieces for various probiotics that's yep. going to fix us and that would be jumping around the meadow and all happy and stuff. I mean, yep. What about that? I mean, how do we know what's the proper
yeah,
one?
Yeah, and you know, well, there's first one thing, they definitely help, but if you're putting a probiotic into a gut that is wounded, as I would say, or in it's nearly like you're putting it into the embers of a fire. So how much of it can you actually absorb and use, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
So to me, you have to get to the bottom of it and put out the fire. There's so many good probiotics out there, and you never take the same one continually. So if you start on something like a Super 8, you take it for a month. We've got trillions of bacteria in our gut, Fran. So like the Super 8, I always, the analogy I use is like, it's like an ecosystem of loads and loads of flowers. So you've got like hundreds of varieties of different flowers in there.
Yes.
Your Super 8 will do a certain level of a certain amount of flowers. So maybe thousands
and
of
Super
varieties.
8 is like what, a supplement or
yes, it's a tablet,
okay.
Yeah. Keep them in the fridge and you take them in the morning.
Right.
Then you move on. So the next month you take something like a Biocult, which again is another probiotic, and that'll do another lot of whatever flowers. And then you might take OptiBac or something. So you can stay changing for up to 4 months and then go back to
right,
your
but these are
Super
taken as
again.
Supplements.
Supplement, yeah.
Right, because most of what we're bombarded with appears to be yogurts of different
yeah, days. Yeah, and like so many people are dairy intolerant at the minute, and that can cause inflammation. And even what you get from them is so little. And then if you look, even look at the bottle, a lot of the time you'll see that there's additives, as in there's an oast, like a, you know, it might be,
wow.
yeah, your lactose, or there might be a sucralose, or there might be something else. So on one hand, you're getting a certain amount of good bacteria, but on the other hand, you're getting something that's going to completely kill it. So to get the balance right is really hard. Your fermented foods, like, you, I don't know if you've ever heard of kefir and, you know, kimchi and things like that. Some people come into me have heard of them. They're fantastic probiotics. They're very, very natural, you know, it's like they're and you'll get them in the health shop if you want to get them. They're actually right. on the
These
shelves.
Are capsules? Or?
No, well, you'll get them on the shelves in supermarkets now. Like, you'll see kefir. So
okay.
it's a, you know, a derivative of like this little, it's like a derivative of milk or dairy for all the world, you know. Kombucha, and these ones are more like, say, like cabbage and, you know, your dried veg
okay.
and that put into like a vinegar solution and left over time that they ferment, and then they create loads of good bacteria
right.
within the
and
gut.
Do you put that in your cooking?
Or yeah, anything. You
anything.
Can even eat
okay.
it raw. Like even something as simple as like pickled onions or something are really good. Like they're
Yuck.
Like, but they're like fermented food. I love pickled onions.
Mm.
Yeah. But the other things then that kill the
Do you
bacteria.
Have many friends?
Probably not at this stage.
But that's a whole
I love,
other
that's, I, a whole that's a whole other, other I would actually eat a jar of pickled onions. I'd take
would
the
you?
Top off and I would just eat them with chicken on their own. Just
oh,
literally
stop.
Eat them one by one out of the jar until they're all gone. Any kind, gherkins, anything. Absolutely love them. The stronger the better, yeah.
Well,
anyway,
you.
Back to this. So your antacids are another thing that can actually kill the gut bacteria. You know,
yes.
the PPIs, like the protein pump inhibitors and that stop the acid reflux so you don't feel it, but the fire is still going on underneath. They reduce your stomach's acidity over time. And that's really serious because, like, we need an acidic environment. It negatively affects the natural barrier that prevents bacterial growth in the stomach. So you've got to have, like, a really, you know, a really good environment within the stomach. And the more you put in these PPIs and the antacids or whatever, they're reducing the acidicness of keeping, reducing infection and keeping all of that as it needs
and
to be.
And again, we're told in every second ad break, we should be taking these
things.
It's
just such nonsense. Like, you can't go out and drink all night long and eat chips and eat all the different bits and pieces and then take a tablet and it's all going to be gone. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, you hear this text, Mira says, "Hi, Fran and Muriel. I lost my husband just 2 years ago now. I'm so lonely. When my husband died, there were a lot of people around, but then after a month, the month's mine mass, everybody just disappeared out of my life. Family, friends, neighbours. I live on my own. I'm so lost without my husband. Life is so hard on me," isn't that?
That is really, really, really
heartbreaking,
awful.
Isn't it?
Really awful. Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's not that they're all gone. It's possibly that they're all so busy. That's the thing. Everybody appears to be so busy. And so busy as in under pressure busy, Fran. Like trying to make money, trying to keep their head above water, like trying to get kids to 50 different things. That's the problem, isn't it? And when somebody had a partner, they were together and you didn't need to do the visiting. So like, it's about making time. That's what we're talking about. Being able to visit people like this, I think, would be wonderful.
For sure. If people want to make contact with you, Muriel, how can they do that?
So it's 052-614-888-1 or www.marito8020.com.
All right, great to see you. We're going to do blood sugar next week.
Yes, we are going to do it all.
You're going to have sharp needles.
Yes. And his diet is really on track, guys, so he's just going to be flying. The sugars will be like perfect.
Can I tell the listeners that's sarcasm more than anything else? We'll take a break. Back with more. Thanks.
Tip today with Fran Curry.
With Slattery's Garage, puck on. Your Peugeot car or van might benefit from a free software upgrade. For more information and to find out if this applies to your vehicle, call the lads in Slattery's Garage, puck on 067 24111 or slatterysgarage.ie.